One brings Maklof magic, while the other, we're still trying to figure that out.
Kettles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
Little seal for you on a hump day.
Apparently so. That's what we're doing. You like seal?
I do.
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
It's also, it's the Space Jam song, so I know Rami likes that.
That's the entire seal conversation I have for you.
That's all I got.
Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. All right, we'll have Stats Guerrero join us in about 10 minutes to talk Niners, Eagles. But here's an interesting question, okay? The AP came out with their finalists for NFL Coach of the Year. Shanahan is on the list, Rami. The other two coaches, Brian Daboll with the Giants, Doug Peterson with the Jaguars. It's tough to argue. It's tough to argue against Shanahan and what he's done with a third-string quarterback. But I also think, you know, Daboll absolutely deserves to be in the conversation, doing what he did with the Giants and Daniel Jones.
Quick turnaround.
Peterson, too, taking over that disaster from Urban Meyer. I mean, it feels like it was 10 years ago Urban Meyer was head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Kicking kickers.
I think it's a pretty good conversation to have with those three guys. But Shanahan is a finalist. We'll see if he wins it.
But that conversation is boring, right?
Yeah, so let's mix it up. So Coach Brown.
Oh.
There have been murmurs.
But that's a different sport, Nick.
It is.
Oh.
Brian Windhorst wrote about Mike Brown this week. And there's been talk, there's been steady talk of Mike Brown being in the Coach of the Year conversation in the NBA. So if you could only pick one of the two local coaches to win Coach of the Year, who do you think deserves it more, Shanahan or Brown, and why?
You brought this up yesterday in a break, and you broke my brain with it. I've been thinking about it ever since, because it's hard to compare the different sports, and honestly, this might be the bubble effect.
But you're not comparing the sports. You're comparing what the person has done with their team.
This might be the bubble effect that I talk about, that when it comes to the teams that you watch and talk about and root for on a day-to-day basis, things often look a lot better or a lot worse than what they really are or what they would look like if you took the 30,000-foot view. But in my opinion, both those guys deserving of Coach of the Year for what they've done. But in comparing the two, Nick, I think I have to lean Shanahan, more deserving of a Coach of the Year award than Mike Brown.
Okay.
Slightly leaning towards Shanahan just because of the adversity that he's had to overcome, mostly in terms of the injuries that he's endured. And not just at quarterback, but let's focus just on quarterback and losing your starter and then losing your second string guy.
Yes.
And then ending up with a rookie who was the last guy taken in the draft that 31 other NFL teams literally had zero interest in. I showed you a scouting report from an NFL scout, and he literally, next to Brock Purdy's name, just wrote down, no interest.
No interest.
No interest whatsoever.
Imagine if you a lady came up to you when you were, you know, you were dating back in the day, and somebody, and she just walked up to you and said, no interest, and walked on.
It wasn't written out, but I got that message many a time. Okay? It wasn't written on a scouting report.
But you use it to your advantage as a stand-up comedian.
Yes, so absolutely. And I've overcome the scouting report and gone way out of my league now. So, just like Brock Purdy. To put that in terms of Mike Brown and his team, that would be the equivalent of De'Aaron Fox going down and everybody going, okay, I guess Davion Mitchell has to step up. And Davion Mitchell steps in and they don't skip a beat. They just keep on winning games. And then Davion Mitchell goes down and Mike Brown is forced to go to Matthew Dellavedova as his everyday point guard. That's what Kyle Shanahan was dealing with at the quarterback position and losing the most important player, not the best, but the most important player on the field for him, losing his backup.
Poor Deli catching strays.
And ending up with the third string guy who nobody expected to even play this year. who's basically just there to be on the bench and hype people up and help them look over notes and box scores. That
was out of respect.
That's what Kyle Shanahan dealt with this year, if I was to put it in terms of what Mike Brown could have potentially dealt with.
I'm going to go with Brown. I'm going to go with Brown because of the monumental challenge that he faced when he walked into the job. Like, I would argue that, yeah, Kyle Shanahan had to deal with the third-string quarterback, but Kyle also has a loaded offense, a bunch of weapons, a really good offensive line, a defense that's outrageously good, a defensive coordinator who's going to be a head coach once this season is over, the guy who's at the top of pretty much every team's list to be their head coach in 2023 that needs a head coach in 2023. Mike Brown took over a team that had gone through a 16-year playoff drought. There was desperation. There was lack of belief. There was lack of confidence in many corners. People looked at Mike Brown, I think, and said, "You're crazy for taking the Kings job, man. They don't do anything right. They should move to Seattle," like some of the national pundits threw out there with their idiocy over the past several years.
With the 2-year-old arena.
Recent franchise history, man. You know, Shanahan is almost a victim of his own success in this conversation because the team has just been there. The team has been to the NFC Championship game. They were just there last year. They've been to a Super Bowl with Kyle. They've already shown that they can win with an average quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. They're winning with a guy that I do think is an average quarterback in Brock Purdy right now. He could grow to something more, but right now I would say he's pretty much an average quarterback. So when I look at the challenge that they face, like the expectations, we're talking about the Kings now maybe being one or two pieces away on the bench from being a team that could make legit noise in the Western Conference playoffs. We're talking about a team that the Vegas, you know, prognosticators had at like 33 wins, 34 wins. I just think the way that the Kings have exceeded their expectations already to this point, the fact that, you know, Brown was facing all of this history and, you know, questions about this team's roster and whether or not it was going to work. Don't forget, Domas had only played like 11 or 12 games with Fox last year before they both got hurt. Would they work well? And the final thing I would say, Rami, Shanahan had to deal with a new quarterback. Mike Brown had to deal with a new everything. This is a new staff being put together. This is a lot of new guys on the roster. This is a new philosophy on both ends of the floor that you're figuring it out. You're in a new city, right? You're in a new city if you're Mike Brown. There was a lot of new that Brown had to handle. And for him to handle it as well as he has and to have this team where it is right now, look, I'm not saying Shanahan doesn't deserve the conversation. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the coach of the year in the NFL. But if I had to choose between he or Brown right now in a vacuum, I'm picking Mike Brown.
If it was just losing Trey Lance and having to, you know, go the rest of the way with Jimmy G, I'd probably agree with you. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there really isn't a wrong answer to this, right? Like, I'm not going to push back on your answer and saying Mike Brown.
Oh, of course not.
I don't know that there's a lot of pushback on my answer and saying Kyle Shanahan. There are fine points to be made for both. And like I said, I think both are probably deserving of their Coach of the Year awards in their respective sports.
That's what makes it a tough question because both guys do deserve it. You know, look, there's a lot of basketball left. Maybe that's the ultimate argument from some people saying we're not even there yet.
Well, you know, I already got them winning 50 games.
I mean, even if you finish 500 where this team ends up is still very impressive given what the expectations were, right? So I would lean Brown, but I agree with you, Rami. There is no wrong answer in this question. It's just kind of an interesting look at two coaches that have done a very, very good job and have brought success to the local area. I mean, if you want to call San Francisco local, it's as local as we get with the NFL, right? But I would lean Brown ultimately. But it's tough. It's tough. Both guys have done really, really good work. No doubt about that. By the way, 5:12 on a Wednesday, and thanks to Capital Casino, conveniently located at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento, helping sponsor this hour. All right, speaking of Kyle Shanahan, we will preview Eagles, Niners with Stats Guerrera in 90 seconds.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sacktown Sports. The only place you'll find De'Aaron Fox is Sacktown Sports.
Spins away from the defender, in the paint, soft floater. That's a great play by De'Aaron Fox.
Hey, Sacramento, it's De'Aaron Fox, and you're listening to the home of the Sacramento Kings, Sacktown Sports.
Your local sports leader.
All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline, Folsom Lake Honda.
Your one-stop Honda shop.
All right, let's talk about this NFC Championship game coming up on Sunday between the Eagles and the Niners. Joining us right now, our friend Rob Stats Guerrera from the Gold Standard Podcast Network on Spotify. You can also check him out at Stats on Fire, his YouTube page. And, of course, he is on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Stats, as always, guys, if we can kill the music, thanks. Appreciate it. Stats, as always, we appreciate you and your time, my man. Let's start with Debo, CMC, Mitchell, all DMPs today. Debo says his ankle is sore. What is your level of concern?
I'm concerned. I mean, look, we were so excited because the Niners seemed like they were so healthy going into the playoffs and even coming out of that Seattle game. But I think it speaks to just the level of physicality from that last Cowboys game. He kicked up a notch for sure, and as it usually does this time of year. But now we're talking a situation where two of the Niners' three biggest playmakers are significantly less than 100% going into this game.
So this isn't the old they rest on Wednesdays. They need this time off to recover from injuries.
I think they do. Yeah, and you know, look, I'm not in the locker room, obviously, but just look at the end of that Cowboys game. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, most of the time, was not in there. It was Elijah Mitchell. McCaffrey would come in on third downs when the Niners really needed to make a play. But other than that, he was on the sideline. And if there's one thing we know with Kyle Shanahan, he doesn't really like to use multiple backs in a game unless he has to. So I listen less to what they say and more about what they do. And the fact that McCaffrey wasn't in there was telling for me. Debo, of course, was. But look, we all know Debo's level of play is extremely physical. We'll see what happens on Sunday.
Rob Stats Guerrero with us. Rob, how much belief do you have in Brock Purdy going out there to Philly, playing on the road in the NFC Championship game?
Well, do I have belief that he can distribute the ball and take care of the ball and maybe make, you know, a play or two in the red zone? I have strong belief in that. Do I believe that he can put the team on his back with no running game and little help from his defense and put up 40 points against that Eagles defense? No, I don't. But that's kind of where I've been with Brock Purdy all along, and so far he hasn't let me down.
Some talk about, you know, the road game and the Philadelphia crowd getting the best of him. One thing I said, Rob, was that I'm still wondering if the quarterback is exposed and we see on a football field why he was the last player taken in the draft. We see the rookie come out in him. But one thing I don't really wonder about or question is, this guy going to get rattled? It doesn't seem like moments are too big for Brock Purdy outside of maybe a couple of plays to start that Seattle game in the wild card round. Do you think the Philadelphia crowd gets the best of this guy?
I don't think it will. I mean, there's just as much of a chance of that crowd booing the Eagles as there is that crowd booing the 49ers. But no, I think Brock is the one thing you can say about him is that he is poised and he kind of understands his role in this whole thing. So I think that the Dallas game last week helped him too. I think it took him a couple series to kind of adjust to the speed of that Cowboys defense because he hadn't really seen anything like that before this. And now the fact that he has adjusted to it, I think he's not going to like have that shock, even though he is on the road in Philadelphia. I think it's more just, okay, they're yelling at us instead of cheering for us, but whatever. I'll still go out and do my job.
Rob Stats Guerrera from the Gold Standard Podcast Network on Spotify. You can also check him out on his YouTube page at Stats on Fire. The San Francisco O-line, Rob, they had some issues with Dallas. Dallas got heat on Brock throughout stretches of the game last weekend. Now they face the NFL's number one team in pass rush win rate. The Eagles have sacked a bunch of quarterbacks this year. How do you feel about that O-line coming up on Sunday?
Not great. It was under pressure
14 times against the Cowboys. He was just 3 of 10 for 24 yards when he was under pressure. He's going to have to learn to function when he's uncomfortable, and he's going to be uncomfortable for a large portion of this game because, like you said, defensive front is – it's effective like the 49ers, but it's different than the 49ers. Most of the 49ers' pressure comes from number 97, Nick Bosa. The Eagles have 4 guys with 10 or more sacks, so they can come at you from anywhere. So I think that Brock's going to have to, number one, rely on Kyle Shanahan. Number two, he's probably going to have to make a little magic at times and use some of those different arm angles, but he is not going to have the kind of nice, clean pockets that he sort of had when he first took over from Jimmy Garoppolo.
Do you think the dominant stretch continues for this defense, or do you see some problems that Philadelphia presents for San Francisco?
I'm actually not as worried about Jalen Hurts scrambling as most people are. He's going to get some yards. He's a good runner, and they're going to do some design things for him. What I'm actually more worried about is the deep passing of the Eagles. I'm worried about Hurts moving away from pressure, getting outside the pocket, and then extending the play and looking deep down the field to A.J. Brown and deep down the field to Devontae Smith. I keep bringing it up every week, but the Niners are vulnerable to deep passes. I think it's 8 plays of 50 yards or more. We saw last week CeeDee Lamb caught a big one. Now, I think that was 49 yards, so technically it doesn't go towards that stat. But the point is made, you can have things deep down the field against the Niners. That's what I worry about more than anything else.
Rob Stats Guerrero on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. How much of an advantage, Rob, when you look at this, do the Niners have in the Nick Bosa Mayalata matchup? It seems like Bosa should be able to eat, especially if the Eagles don't send extra help.
I mean, the Niners have the advantage in the Nick Bosa against anybody matchup.
Yes, that's fair.
Trent Williams plays on the 49ers, so that would be the only time I would call it a draw, but he's going to have to. I know that, you know, he hasn't had a ton of sacks in his last 4 or 5 games, but he still affects the game. He still moves quarterbacks off their spot. And the Niners really need him to play like the defensive player of the year this week, because if they can't pressure Jalen Hurts, it's going to be a long day.
So what happens in the NFC Championship game, Rob Stats Guerrero?
Well, I hate to say it, but I did pick the Eagles to make the Super Bowl before the year started, so I kind of have to stick with it. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a close game because I do think this 49er defense is playing a lot closer to the level they were at when the year started as opposed to what we saw down the stretch. But I just think the Eagles are too equipped to handle any kind of game, a slugfest, a shootout, whatever they need to do, they seem to be prepared to do it. And ultimately, I think they are just a little bit better version of the 49ers. So I'll take Eagles 28-21.
Stats, we appreciate you, my man. Thanks for joining us again. We'll talk to you next week about what happened in the NFC Championship game on Sunday.
I hope we're talking about a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Thank you, Stats. There goes Rob Stats Guerrero again, Gold Standard Podcast Network on Spotify. You can check him out on YouTube, his YouTube page at Stats on Fire, and he was on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda,
your one-stop Honda shop.
We doing this again?
I don't know. Apparently Nick didn't think so.
I wasn't quite planning for it, but Rami wants to do it. Quickly, though, before
yes,
we bid people adieu here, yes, because we're out a little bit early today because the Kings. Kings-Raptors tonight, Rami.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
This is another game that we went through this stretch, Nick, of these games, and we talked about the 9-game stretch previous and 5 or 6 that followed that. That presents an opportunity for the Kings and a lot of winnable games, and I think this is another one of those winnable games for them tonight. I think they take it home. I think it should be relatively easy. No games are really all that easy, but it should be relatively easy.
OG might not play, right?
Makes it a little easier.
I would also say that, you know, when you look at this Raptors team, they're not great shooters, right? They do not shoot great from distance. Van Vliet's having a down year. They are going to beat you tonight if you allow them to beat you off the glass, right? If they're able to grab rebounds all night long, get second chance points, the stuff that we've seen happen to the Kings every once in a while that has hurt them. They also really take advantage in transition. You have to take care of the basketball tonight. If you don't take care of the basketball against the Raptors, you will keep them in the game. So take care of the ball, box out. And finally, I think this could be a night where Domas really, really does some work, as if he doesn't ever do work. You get the point. I mean, I think he could have a monstrous game because the Raptors have length, but they don't have necessarily a big body down low. They really need like a big, thick-framed man in the middle. I think Domas in the paint tonight could crush them. So I think the Kings win tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow, of course. Thanks to Kyle. Thanks to Simone. Great job from them, too. Rami, great stuff.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to you tomorrow. It's
yes, you will.
Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports.
I'm glad it's night. So the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum when I shoot the moon.
Woo!
You know? Going crazy.
Jim, if I knew what I was going to do, I'd have already done it.
Sour as in detergent. Now hurry, hurry, go on to the altar. I know you ain't a but remember what I taught you. Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart. Three stacks, these girls are smart. Play your part. Play your part.